My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming. He's a doctor, and he represents the Pelican State's 4th Congressional District. He's also one of the lead sponsors of the brand-new Health Care Conscience Rights Act that he's sponsoring along with Tennessee's Diane Black and Nebraska's Jeff Fortenberry. It's making sure that Americans have their religious rights fully protected when it comes to conscience decisions, and this is largely stemming from the contraception mandate that a lot of people contend uses taxpayer dollars to fund abortion, regardless of taxpayers' views on the subject. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, Greg, thanks for having me again on a very important topic.
Well, it's always good to have you with us, sir, and I gave kind of a thumbnail sketch of what the bill does. I'll go into a little more detail for our listeners.
Well, it's H.R. 940, and it's really an aggregation of three different bills worked on by Representative Diane Black from Tennessee, Jeff Fortenberry of Nebraska, and myself. And what it does is it applies a longstanding policy of conscience rights to the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. It provides doctors, nurses, and other health care providers with protection from discrimination for choosing not to participate in an abortion, codifying the Hyde-Weldon Amendment. And then third, it enables victims of the HHS mandate and discriminatory health practices to have their case heard in court. So what it does is, Greg, we have what's called the First Amendment, which is a right to free speech, but also right of religion, and that includes any conscience beliefs, not just your own specific religious beliefs, and that a government cannot, by the Constitution, force you to commit acts or participate in acts that are against your conscience, can't use your occupation, your pay, your livelihood, or certainly threaten imprisonment if you don't do what the government feels is morally correct. And so this bill we want to put on the House floor for a vote. If not, we'd like to get it in some must-pass legislation, perhaps an appropriations bill coming up or a budget bill coming up. And we're looking for any opportunity. And all this really does is restore some of the protections that were already in existence before Obamacare passed back in 2010.
A couple of quick follow-ups for you, Congressman. First of all, obviously it sounds like the contraception mandate, also known by some as the abortifacient mandate, triggered this. But given the rulemaking power of the Health and Human Services Secretary, this sounds like it's more wide-ranging than just in response to this one issue, correct?
Well, certainly. I mean, for instance, I'm a physician, and I prescribe birth control pills. I personally don't find that in any way conflicting with my own conscience, but there are other physicians, particularly Catholics, who do. And I think it's their right to not be forced to provide birth control pills to people if it's against their conscience right. On the other hand, I'm 100% pro-life. It would not give a pill, an abortifacient, to someone that I thought might cause an abortion and certainly wouldn't in some way participate or commit an abortion. And so it applies to all of these things. It's not just birth control pills. It's not just the morning after pill. It's not just abortions themselves. There are many other things that could be including this, depending on one's religious beliefs. So the government should not have the right to force you to participate in some type of behavior that is going to conflict with your conscious rights. And if it does, or potentially does, you should have the ability to have access to courts. And currently that's not necessarily the case. Under Obamacare, you have to reach out to the Secretary of HHS, who is, of course, Secretary Sebelius, who is very, very pro-abortion. So what's the chance that she's going to cede to you or in some way protect you when, again, she's part of this whole development where those rights are taken away from health care providers?
Congressman, I'm sure you've gotten this argument from the other side, and I'm sure if this bill advances, you'll get it again. And that's that they'll say there are a lot of things already in law that taxpayers pay for and they don't like. There was just a big debate not that long ago over taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood that has gone forward on largely this same subject. And there's a lot of other things that the government funds that people on both sides of the aisle might not be in favor of. So how is this specifically different, they would say, I think?
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Planned Parenthood. I agree that funding of Planned Parenthood, because money is fungible, is in some way subsidizing abortions. And a majority of Americans today, for the first time since Roe v. Wade, actually are pro-life, and a supermajority of Americans feel like that there should not be taxpayer money used for abortions. So I would agree that we shouldn't be supplying money to for Planned Parenthood, that Planned Parenthood should either get out of the business of abortions and stay in women's preventive health, and that's where the money goes, or that they should stay only in the abortion side and that there should be no taxpayer money supported. So I think that that there are several issues here regarding whether or not you're a health care provider and being forced to do things against your conscience, whether or not you are a company that sponsors health care in some way, whether it's through insurance or, in the case of the Catholic Church, you provide hospital services and clinic services to people. So it hits at many different levels, but again, the Obama administration would say that, well, if you are a Catholic institution, that we're going to define this narrowly, that you can only limit your conscience, waivers or exclusions to people of the Catholic Church. Well, that would mean that Catholic institutions couldn't treat people of other religions, and that makes no sense. That's part of their mission, is to reach out and provide care and services and to, quite frankly, to witness the word of the Lord to all Americans, anyone who's willing to listen. So this really, I think, makes no sense to not have the kind of protections, constitutional protection, so necessary, provided by our founding fathers.
Very quickly, sir, I know you're on a tight schedule today. On a slightly different topic, there's been a lot of different rumors in Louisiana about who might challenge Senator Mary Landrieu in 2014. Some of those names have already said that they won't be running. Your name's been thrown out there, and I haven't seen you say you wouldn't run. So where are you in this process, and what are you considering as you make this decision?
Well, Greg, I have been urged to run, and I am looking at it. We're going through the metrics, the evaluation. Certainly, what I'm doing now as a member of Congress and in my district is very important, and I love my district. I love doing what I'm doing. I have not made a decision one way or another, and certainly will let you know as soon as I do. But one way or another, I want to be a positive force for the people of Louisiana and the United States of America in whatever way I can serve.
We'll certainly be waiting for that decision when it comes down. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today, as always.
Great. Thank you so much, Greg.
You bet. Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming, also a doctor, represents his state's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.